Today I'm reading from Micah chapter 6, 6 through 8. What God requires. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with a burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God.
I think some of us have sort of a love-hate relationship with Facebook these days. If you're younger than me, you probably moved on to things like TikTok, which I don't really know anything about, except for after last weekend I have a newfound respect and admiration for. So thank you for those of you who are on it. I'm still using the old Facebook, and clearly we are as a church as well. It's the way that we can communicate to all of you, and I'm so grateful for it. But like many things, I sort of hold the tension of dislike and disgust about some things, and a lot of joy and hope and gratitude about others. So we're always holding the tension, aren't we? Mindful of naming both. Well, one thing I love about Facebook is the memories. It's always fun to see what I was doing last year at this time, or 2 years ago, or 3 years ago. Now I feel like we're down to 10 or 12 even. I've been on it quite some time throughout almost all of my ministry at Fairview. So each time I find my memory is jogged, and I look back and then I compare it to where I am now. And I've noticed that I seem to go on vacation a lot in May and even early June. And so I think about where I was, where I could have been. I wasn't in Cancun this year as I was scheduled to be for Nora's son and Becky's brother's wedding, but I was a lot of places that make me thankful for the opportunity to travel in the world and make me pause and miss that, but give thanks for all that I have experienced. So as I was looking at my memories this week, though, what unfolded before me week after week, I was filled with pride because it was OC Pride. I saw so many opportunities to celebrate as I reflected back on year after year of OC Prides. We have been active at the Orange County Pride since its return way back in 2009, when those of us who had organized against Prop 8 decided we'd have a picnic in the park. And it weren't very many of us, maybe 50 or so, and we all gathered in order to celebrate with a picnic. And that then turned into another celebration in Irvine over in that Wild Rivers area. And that then turned into a big celebration in Santa Ana, where it's been for several years. But every year, Fairview has been present, either with a booth or in the parade, sometimes both. But we've marched in the parade every year since there has been one. And it is so joyful to experience our church in that way and to see the way others respond to our church marching. So with rainbows and beads and joy and a whole lot of love, we march and we share the good news about Fairview Community Church. I suppose our story, though, started long before we officially became an open, welcoming, and affirming congregation. Ultimately, it came from a belief in love. And while our congregation did not take an official stance until 2008, we were really always on this trajectory because we felt that above all else, we were called to love and celebration. For those of you going way, way back, you might remember the name of the Reverend Roger Harrison. In the early 1970s, Reverend Harrison found a sanctuary in our sanctuary. He was an openly gay man, and to be clear, open wasn't exactly rainbow flag flying open at the time, but it wasn't a secret. He began attending during the Reverend Mel Taylor's years, and Mel Taylor did so much for Fairview, sending us on this trajectory to become a real thinking church. Just recently, when we were applying for the payroll protection plan, I was going through all of these old papers and documents, and I found some words that he had written about goals for Fairview. And my eyes welled up and I realized what kindred souls we two pastors of Fairview Church were and perhaps still are. So of course, Mel made space for Roger. And of course, he ensured that he would be safe here, that he could even take the pulpit a time or two. Where others would condemn him, Fairview would welcome him home. It wasn't much talked about, and it certainly wasn't the formal affirmation of gay people, but it was the beginnings of who we were becoming, and it was always about love. I think we have Mel Taylor and the good people of Fairview Church and Roger Harrison to thank for starting us on that journey so long ago. Later, the Reverend Dr. Gary Barmore would become our pastor. He would serve for 25 years with passion for celebration, theological education, and real joy for life and ministry together. His daughters, Becky and Beth, both grew up here. As PKs, they were a beloved part of our family. As each daughter grew, she embraced life, each facing challenges, but doing so with the incredible support of a father who loved them, and a mother and a stepmother as well, of course. Beth was challenged in becoming a single mother, and Becky came to her realization that she was a lesbian. Both were loved, neither were ostracized. In Becky's own affirmation of her identity, she helped move the good people of Fairview. Because they love Becky. And if they love Becky, then they loved a lesbian. Without even realizing it, they began to open their minds because their hearts were already open to her. Gary never pushed that we become what was still a relatively unknown concept within Baptists or even Protestant circles, a welcoming and affirming congregation. But he was consistent that the Christian faith is fundamentally about love. That this is the task of the Christian, to love our God and love one another as ourselves. He would get pushback from the American Baptist denomination. They would even boo him when he spoke of this mandate of loving without judgment. But he preached about love anyway. And Fairview would continue to be that place of love. That's the church that Libby and Rebecca fell in love with. Here's their story in their own words.
Hi, and welcome to Pride Sunday. Rebecca and I are so thrilled to be part of this church and part of this Pride celebration. In 1996, I was elected to the Costa Mesa City Council, the first open out lesbian in Orange County elected to public office. One of my interests was human relations and social justice. And working on that committee in Costa Mesa, I met Marty Barmore. Great gal, great worker, good things we accomplished on that committee. And then in February of 98, I received a phone call from a Gary Barmore. I hadn't met Gary yet. And he invited me as a city council community representative to come to Fairview Community Church and dedicate the new Fellowship Plaza. So, as I did with all kinds of requests for my presence, I asked Rebecca if she would like to go with me. I knew pretty much what she didn't want to do or what I would never ask her to do. But this was one of those where I'll ask you, and I would love it if you'd come, and if you will, that would be great. Well, we did. We went to church, Fairview Community Church, on that day, and I had an opportunity to get up in front of the congregation and talk about the importance of community and community connections. And Rebecca was there at my side. We went to church. Gary Barmore gave a sterling sermon about social justice, and we sang a couple of spirituals. It was Black History Month, so we sang some spirituals, and I enjoyed the music very much. On the way home afterward, Rebecca said that you'd like to go back.
That's right. I was always supportive of Libby's political involvement, and I wanted to be supportive, so I walked a lot of precincts and knocked on a lot of doors when she was first running. And she told me about this invitation, and I said, okay, because I grew up going to church with my parents and my brother in North Carolina, but hadn't been much interested in church since I had come out, which was years ago. And so I said, okay. I wasn't sure if the pew would burst into flames because we were there. But anyway, it was a lovely day, and I was just really impressed and kind of blown away, not just with the sermon, with the friendliness of the people. They were all very welcoming. And on the way home, I said, you're probably not going to believe this, but I want to go back to this church because I hadn't been involved in a church in a long time. So we did, and we've been there ever since. It's just a wonderful church, and we don't have to park our brains at the door.
We don't have to park our sexuality at the door.
Right.
Open, welcome, and affirming church. And we've been there through that process.
Have to get the cat.
Yes, we have a cat that's chewing
a plant.
So we have just embraced, over the years, Fairview Community Church. In 2008, Rebecca and I were married by Gary Barmore in our backyard. Sarah had to be at a conference, I think, that weekend, and we were running out of time because of the election and proposition, whatever it was. So we married, and we have just felt that Fairview has been our family and our community since 1998, and we love it. Thank you.
It wouldn't be until 2008 that we officially became open, welcoming, and affirming. It was after a year-long process of discernment, as we held conversation, as we studied and read books and watched movies, that we took that bold step and voted to officially represent both of our denominations in an intentional welcome to the LGBTQ+ community. We believed, and we still do, that it isn't enough to say you welcome everyone if you cannot affirm it. We needed to mirror the coming out process, and while we could never fully understand or experience it, in the process that we underwent, it meant that we couldn't just be those nice Christians that flew under the radar. We would come out of the closet too. And then, from then on out, people would know that this was a rainbow flag flying, LGBTQ loving congregation. Of course, most of you will remember, as I mentioned earlier, that 2008 was a significant year for California. It was the year that Prop 22 was overturned. And for a glorious 5 months or so, we were finally allowed to celebrate same-gender marriages. Quick on the heels of that declaration, of course, was the introduction of Proposition 8. And we suddenly found ourselves right in the middle of a fight. Fairview Community Church was propelled into what became really a national conversation as we joined our UCC sister churches and led the way in so many ways for our Baptist family of churches to fight for gay and lesbian couples to retain, at this point, the right to marriage. Well, you know what happened. We lost that battle. But we had clearly defined ourselves as LGBTQ friendly, and from then on out, Orange County and beyond would know who we, Fairview Community Church, was and what we stood for. We would continue to fight this fight until marriage equality was for all. It took a lot of years. There were a lot of actions, a lot of marches, and a lot of vigils. But what we found out early on was that people wanted to be a part of a church that welcomed everyone. We did this because we knew it was the right thing to do. We imagined that it would attract queer folks and queer families, but we did not realize how many straight people would seek us out because we did not exclude anyone. This would become the hallmark of who we are as an intentionally inclusive congregation. Here's a story from another one of our beloveds.
Good morning, Fairview family. This is Pastor Rod Eccles, Neighborhood Church, Laguna Beach. I just want to send some love to each and every one of you. I am so appreciative that you are with me. You are on the journey with me here in Laguna Beach, always in my heart. Without you, I wouldn't be here. I left the New England area back in 2010, made my way to California, San Diego area, looking for a church that was open and affirming, a church that had a vibrant and creative worship experience, and was also American Baptist. And I found that community in Costa Mesa, Fairview Community Church. Because of you, I was able to continue as an American Baptist, become ordained as an American Baptist, and wouldn't you know it, eventually find myself as part of the awe-inspiring, diverse, so incredible, and very timely, relevant denomination that we call the United Church of Christ. Yes, I continue as that Baptist-loving kid from Memphis, Tennessee, who will always appreciate the cultural blessings that that particular community has given me over the years. And I'm so proud to be a part of the UCC, to bring my voice as an African-American preacher, pastor, lover of Jesus, and just a downright appreciative guy who knows where his blessings come from. You are indeed a blessing to me and will always continue in my heart and in my spirit for the days, months, and years to come. Fairview Community Church, a place where love reigns, where we don't check our brains at the door, where all are welcomed, a place where social justice is a part of who we are and a part of our Christian walk, a place where people like myself find our place in God and in this world. I am so grateful to Pastor Sarah, each and every one of you, and I look forward to catching up very shortly, perhaps later this year, maybe a Beacon of Light celebration, virtual or not. I'll see you soon, and I love you so much. Take good care.
Good to see that face, huh? When Reverend Rod first contacted me about a decade ago, it was while he was still in Boston. And I was hoping he'd share a little bit more about that, because he was moving to San Diego, California, looking for a welcoming and affirming Baptist church. And while he looked all over SoCal, the only one he could find was ours, Fairview Community Church. So for over 4 years, Rod commuted almost 4 hours a Sunday to worship with us. I'm glad he shared a bit more about his journey, though, because he made his home at Fairview, and we not only ordained him as an American Baptist pastor 4 years ago, but because of our dual affiliation with the United Church of Christ, we introduced him to the UCC, and he now serves as the pastor at Neighborhood Community UCC in Laguna Beach. All because there was no other American Baptist church that was welcoming and affirming in all of Southern California. He may have commuted the farthest, though Carol and Len commuted over an hour each way for the very same reason. But so many of you have found Fairview because you Googled Gay Church Orange County, or Open and Affirming, Welcoming and Affirming. Whether or not you identified as queer, you somehow made your way home because we were intentionally open, welcoming, and affirming. And so as we celebrate Pride Month, I take so much pride in you, Fairview, in your intentional welcome, in your fearlessness in the face of threats, your willingness to stand up for love, and the legacy that reminds us of who we have always been, that this is who we will always be, standing on the side of love. These haven't been the easiest months during quarantine, and with societal unrest, we look at the injustices in our world, particularly racial injustice. It has been astonishing the way people have chosen to blatantly disrespect their neighbors and fail to care for their health and safety. But even with all that is happening in the world today, there are reasons to celebrate. Last week, the Supreme Court ruling came in the midst of Pride Month, a month which had to cancel so many celebrations, and yet one in which we saw the LA Pride Parade turn into a Pride March for Black Lives Matter, just a demonstration of how we can work together for the inclusion of all. And now, finally, in the very same month, we get to celebrate that it is no longer legal in any state of this country to discriminate against someone based on sexual orientation or gender identity. This is huge, and I hope that you are saying amen, 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 and applauding with me now, because there is so much to celebrate with this ruling. And yet, we know that there is still so much work to be done. We will continue to fly our flag and speak out for equality, but we must remember to remain vigilant. This year alone has already seen an alarming number of murders of trans women, particularly trans women of color. As we proclaim Black Lives Matter, we must continue to affirm how necessary it is for Black trans lives to matter, for all trans lives to matter. Truly, we recognize that now more than ever, we must affirm that if all lives matter, we have to work for all lives to matter. And that must include standing with our Black sisters and brothers, wearing a mask to ensure that the vulnerable in our community don't get sick, and of course, standing in solidarity with the LGBTQ+ community. This is sacred work. And we must continue to do it. That's what really makes us open, welcoming, and affirming. I'm reminded again and again how sacred this work is, how necessary it is, how life-transforming it is to be affirmed, loved, and cherished. But don't let me do all the talking. Let's hear it from one more of our own very beloved.
Hi, Fairview. My name is Jess, and I just want to talk to you a little bit today about why it was so important for me to find a church that was both open and affirming of the LGBTQ community. I'm sure all of us know that for far too long, the LGBTQ community has been kind of villainized a little bit by more conservative religious beliefs. And growing up, that's a lot of what I learned. Now, all of the churches that I went to, I think if you would ask the pastors or the preachers what their stance was, they would always say that they were at least open to LGBTQ people, right? Because they want to have this picture of being open and loving, and at least inclusive of those who are marginalized. But at the same time, though they'll say that they're open, once you walk into those doors, if you are LGBTQ, like I am, then you're a lot of times not fully accepted for how you are. You're viewed differently. You get these sort of conflicting messages. And a lot of times, even though the preacher will say one thing, the congregation might do something else, right? So you're going to have this constant mismatch between them preaching love versus not actually feeling like you're receiving that love. And over time, that mismatch wears down on you. It wears down on your beliefs on the matter, wears down on your self-esteem. Like, do I actually belong? Am I actually loved? And also, it kind of wears down on your faith because you see all of these people who are supposed to be, you know, living out the life of Christ. And on one side, they're saying one thing, but then when you actually see them living out their lives, they'll say such hateful things, not actually be inclusive of all, that they're putting these conditions on inclusion. And that was not something that I wanted to be involved with anymore, especially since coming out. So I was really looking for a church that would be radically inclusive, radically open, and affirming of the LGBTQ people, which I think that you can believe in like strict theology and be very dogmatic and still be radically accepting of LGBTQ people. I've done a lot of research. I'm very much an academic sort of person. I'm a graduate student, so that's kind of the route that I tend to go. And I do think that there is a place biblically, theologically, and most importantly, relationally, as God's children, for fully open LGBTQ people. And I love that Fairview takes that same stance, that they are radically accepting of people who have for far too long been marginalized. And I have to say, I couldn't be prouder of the fact that my church takes that stance. So, thank you.
There is a lot to celebrate in who we are and the ways we have embraced one another and offered the love of God among us. Let us take pride in who we are, but let us continue to be humble as we walk with our God, as we seek the justice that the prophet Micah reminds us that we are called to seek out and fight for. Loving with kindness and compassion and a deep desire to connect with one another, to witness God in each other. And let us walk this humble path, always following our brother and our teacher, Jesus, along the way. Amen.